Hello and welcome back, everybody. Another exciting episode where we're going to study the Bible. And we're going to dig in, guess where? Genesis chapter 1. You didn't think we'd be out of that yet, did you? JD, did you think we'd be out of Genesis chapter 1 yet?
Not a chance, David. I knew we were going back to Genesis. And, you know, I keep thinking about that, you know, how I was thinking when we first started the series that we'd be done in Genesis maybe 2, 3, 4 shows tops. And, well, we're in month 4, maybe. I don't know. It's been a while, but, you know, it is an education. And I really invite everybody, please break out your Bible and follow along, and you'll learn something. I promise you that. David, yeah, start us off in prayer today.
And
we'll go.
All right. Father, we come before you in the mighty and the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that is Jesus the Christ. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the ability in this day and age to be across a country and to record this and have it listened to people around the world so your word can go forth, just like your Bible said. It said you'll preach into every nation. Well, surely these radio broadcasts and these internet broadcasts can get into every nation for sure. So we just give you all the praise and glory, and we ask for your insight today as we study your word. Amen.
Amen. All right, David, I'm going to get out of your way and let you rock and roll with it. So, here you go, sir. Right.
So we're going to have to revisit a couple themes that we've already jumped into. Okay. Now, we've talked about light. Remember that show we did on light?
Yes.
And then we talked about the Matzaroth, which is also known as the Zodiac, which actually means the way, mm-hmm. by the way. So that's pretty cool. Zodiac means the way, because originally it was, you know, the contract or the Bible gospel written in the stars. Mm-hmm. So if they said, this is the way. And that's what Jesus said. I am the way and the truth and the life. So just that alone to say, oh, so he is the way. That means he was the one that was written in the stars before Babylon tried to steal it and all the astrology people today.
Amen.
So that's interesting in itself, is it not?
Yes, it is, very much.
So we talked about this. Let's go to in Genesis chapter 1, obviously.
Okay.
And then verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then verse 4, he saw the light, it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about how light and darkness are actually two different things. It's darkness is not the absence of light. It's actually something like a separate thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say an entity, but it would have, you know, probably a personality, just like light does. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. So that's where we get this. And I was just having a discussion with some. A lot of people will talk about, oh, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. And we went into this a little bit on one show as well. Well, does that mean it's only like, you know, half a day, you know, because it's in the evening and the morning? And then a lot of stuff there. No, it's actually leans more towards chaos to order. Mm. All right. It's a chaos theory when people talk about the origins of the universe. So like, oh, it's everything's in chaos and it was just random. And then we randomly have amino acids that randomly decided that they were going to come together and make a cell, that randomly decided that they were going to build a bigger cell, mm-hmm. and add more cells and then, and make a kidney and all whatever. just a lot of nonsense.
Right.
Where this is what we're talking about. When he says he divided the light from the darkness, again, it's hinting at chaos versus order. Even Hubble himself said, I got that written down. I forgot to bring it out. So Hubble basically says, oh, we must not let the idea of order in the universe get out, because it would prove God. But that's basically what he found, you know, the redshift and, you know, the Hubble thing. He found that the stars appear the further out they are, the faster they're moving away from us, even to the point of faster than the speed of light, and he couldn't figure that out. And he's like, this is all ordered. Everything is ordered, and the earth is at the center of the mathematical universe. And he's like, we can't let that get out, because he was he didn't want you know, the idea of God to get out there.
Right, exactly.
But that's what he found, and that's what he told people. We can't let this get out.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? So
very, yeah. You know, and you know, I'm still because secular people, they stole the horoscope, okay? And it poisoned me all my life until I met you, until we really started talking about the fact that, you know, everything was written in the stars. Makes perfect sense now. But, you know, I was under the impression that you study the horoscope, that's satanic. It's not, you know, it can be read that way. Yes, obviously, but that wasn't the original purpose. And I just thought,
all right, so let's recapitulate.
Yeah, go ahead.
As Derek Prince likes to say, he says, I teach people, if you don't recapitulate, you're not teaching. And that's old English for you. I'm going to say it again. So you get it.
Okay.
So here we are. God wrote everything in the stars, but true to form, when Satan came to Eve and said, oh, you'll be like gods, just do this. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing. Satan cannot create anything new.
Right.
All he can do is take the truth that God made already and twist it.
Mm-hmm.
And the word wicked means to twist. That's where we get that from, like a wicker basket.
Okay.
So he's wicked, meaning he twists everything. Well, he did the same thing with the Matzaroth. God put that we had mentioned this earlier, but he literally, all of those stars tell a story. Mm-hmm. Like all of the stars that are in the constellation Virgo, from the brightest and then working your way down, numbered in order, tell the story of the virgin birth of Christ and who he will be.
Yeah.
Even each individual star all along the way. And a lot of that's been lost over the years, but now we're starting to gain some of that back. Mm-hmm. But it just shows you how intricate that the stars were. It's not just, hey, let's just draw this cool cartoon in the sky. That's how they knew, is they learned all it. And the first one is the one you pick is the brightest one. Okay, start with that one, and then you work your way down. And that's what he talked about when God looked at Abraham and said, can you number the stars? And when he talked to Job, hey, can you number the stars? It's not just count them. No. Can you tell them in order and tell me why all these stars are named like this? Can you take the belt off of Orion? Can you, you know, number the Pleiades?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even what we call the beehive today. So there's so many stars in that little beehive, which is in the center of what we call Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even number those. So it's not a matter of counting the stars, even though it does have that implication. It's a matter of numbering, count them in the order that I made them.
Wow.
Is what it's really
impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to do that? You can't count them to begin with, let alone in the proper order.
Right.
And so he's giving this big overview and this impression of really what the stars are doing. Okay, and they tell the story of redemption. So just as a preface to that, I want to reiterate, on day one, he made light, okay? And with the light, that's how he created the time-space continuum, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So day one is light, and we'll label that A, because we're going to be, he formed something, and then he filled it. And
okay.
So one, two, and three, he formed. Four, five, and six, he filled.
Okay.
So just follow me with that. So on day one, he made the light. And so on day four, because that would be the second set, so one, two, three.
Okay.
So day four is when he put lights in the firmament. That's when he filled the light with stars.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So that we see that. And then day two, he made the firmament and divided the waters. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the sky and the water. And the sky above.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see day five, he made the water creatures and the air creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And then it was on day three, he made the land, and that by nature separated the seas and with the plants in them as well. Right. So that would tell you that plants are not sentient. They're just part of the environment where all these people, you know, tree hugger types.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the land and all the plants with it are basically environment for us to live on the land. And then on day six, that's when he created the land creatures and then topped it off with man.
Right.
So that's just kind of a formed day 1, 2, and 3, filled day 4, 5, and 6.
Gotcha.
With the same in that order.
Okay.
So that was a recapitulation as well.
Okay.
But let's go back to he called the light day and he called the darkness night. And they were evening and morning the first day. Okay. Again, they put a period there when that's an and. So you don't start a sentence with and.
Yeah.
It's a consecutive vav is what it's called.
Okay.
So we hear yod hey vav hey. Well, if you put that vav in front of a word, it's a consecutive. It's in our English, it would be and.
So okay, I've got a crazy question for you. Okay.
Oh, good. And
something that's bothered me for a long, long time. This mm-hmm. is in verse 5. God called the
Who doesn't
light.
Love five?
God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. That
mm-hmm.
it sounds backwards to me. The evening and then the morning. But what am I missing here? Do you understand what? The question I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, I do. It's like, why was it evening first?
Right, exactly.
Okay. If we look into the etymology of Ereb, which is evening, and Boker, which is morning, it's a much deeper thing.
Okay.
Okay. And the idea is Ereb is a root in chaos. So it went from chaos, and then Boker, which is morning, is basically coming into order.
Ah, okay.
So it says it was in order and darkness.
Okay.
And then it went from chaos and darkness moved over to light, which is order, because
gotcha.
Light created the structure of our matrix.
Okay.
So what happened is over time they just used those words for the darkness. Oh, that's mm-hmm. the evening. And Boker, that means morning, because that's when the light comes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And the people who are the sons of darkness, as the Essenes called them, were the Pharisees and I think the Sadducees were seekers of smooth things.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the sons of darkness because they kind of mixed Babylonian religion with Judaism. And that's why they start their day in the evening. So this is the contention of the Essenes, because the Essenes started in the morning because it was the light that was there and in the darkness. But they used this, and when the words became more in use for the nighttime and then into the daytime, that's how we translated it.
Okay.
But it really should read, it went from, it called the light day and the darkness night. So that's when he went from chaos and darkness to light and order.
Okay.
Was the first day.
Makes sense.
Because remember, he formed it.
Right.
And it did go from chaos. It was nothing, and then he made it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then there was no firmament before, but there was just chaos, but he made the firmament.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he made the water.
That makes sense. Once you explained it, it makes sense, as usual. Okay.
Yeah, so,
all right. Sorry to break your train of thought.
So you really
got
to look at the deeper meaning of this, and that's unfortunately that's where a lot of anti-creationists they'll pull that out. Well, this is ridiculous. Oh, blah, blah. You know, it's just because you really haven't studied it out,
right?
And Mike Heiser used to say this all the time: you find something weird in the Bible, that means you're about to learn something.
Well, you go back, to verse 1, verse 2, really. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So, whenever you put that one, that verse with this other one, it all fits. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. So, anyway.
Yep.
Question answered.
Yeah, you start when you recognize
that
it's from chaos to order.
Right.
The darkness to light is chaos to order.
Gotcha.
The evening to morning was chaos to order.
Gotcha.
Everything is like, I formed all of this to have this time space matrix for you to live in. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
makes sense. Okay.
So we're back here, and then, let's pop our way down to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. So he's dividing chaos and order, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And that's what these lights are for. And let them be for signs. And we went over that for signs, right, for season, the Moedim. So there's signs. It's like, hey, this is going to happen. That's going to happen.
Right.
The seasons are the feast days. So it's a big clock. All right. And for days and years. So you can mark off the jubilees and such.
Right. Uh-huh.
And let them be for lights in the firmament. Now, here's something that most people, I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about this.
Okay.
It says, the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so.
Okay.
All right. Now, who is the light of the world?
Jesus.
There. This is to give light. The stars were set in heavens to give light, to explain, like Psalm 19 says, it's written in the heavens to explain his glory, which is redemption plan. Oh. That's what this is saying here, is to give light upon the earth, not just in the physical sense of, well, hey, we need light upon the earth, but to give the light of the gospel. So remember that whole show we had about who is the light and all this.
Right.
Well, this is saying that these stars are telling the story of this light, which is Jesus, to come.
Oh, okay. All right. You're right. I've never heard anybody go into that before.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's 100% what it says.
Yeah, it is.
And we're gonna corroborate that.
Right.
So I am going to look. Oh, that's let's look at Isaiah 13:8.
Okay.
And that in the New American Standard Bible says, they will be terrified, pains and anguish will take hold of them, and they will writhe like a woman in labor. Hey, wait a minute, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm on the wrong one. 13:14, I'm sorry. Scratch that.
Okay.
Okay, therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place.
Okay.
The fury of the Lord, the fury of the Lord in the days of burning anger. So he's going to shake the heavens. And if we read that, let me see.
In the New King James, it's, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's one in there I got to get to. Let me get this one. In verse 10, so he's going to shake everything. And in verse 10, it says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. And the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So this is shaking, which is, I wanted to bring up the shaking from the earthquakes in the last show. But this is clearly saying, in this day, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel and fierce wrath, anger, in verse 9, to lay the land desolate, to destroy the sinners. And it says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Well, what does that mean?
Oh,
so it means two things. All right. It means that there's going to be darkness, which is an entity unto itself. The thing. And then it's not going to shine the light on the earth. Well, where did they go? Okay. Well, they'll be darkened, and the moon shall not cause a light to shine, because I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. So that leads us over into, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. So now here's the day of judgment, and he's shutting off the light, which means they're not going to be able to see what's written in the stars anymore.
Okay.
People won't be able to see the redemption plan, the light of Jesus Christ. Follow me here?
Okay. I'm following you.
So in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So this is starting to take on a lot more meaning.
Yes.
That, oh, it's just dark. No, he's talking about literally the light of the world. They will not be able to see what is written in the stars or the gospel. He blinded their minds. They're so depraved that he won't even let them see the plan of salvation.
Well, now, David, I'm looking real quick here. Let me see. Shoot, I just had it a second ago. Oh, it's in verse 4. Whose minds the God, and that is a lowercase God, whose minds mm-hmm. the God of his, of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Is that the Antichrist?
Yeah, the God of this world. Okay. There's many antichrists, and that could definitely be considered one. So they're okay. blinded because they believe not.
Okay, gotcha.
And he blinds them to the light, and it just fits in with everything else we're seeing. And then in John, let's look, John 12:40.
Okay.
So we have something similar there. Okay. And let me see. Therefore, they cannot believe because of Isaiah said, all right, the arm of the Lord is revealed in verse 38. But then verse 40 said, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Mm-hmm. So they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So here we have Satan as the Antichrist, the God of this world, is blinding them, okay? Because they didn't want to see it, so he's mm-hmm. like, oh, good. So he's blinding them.
Yeah.
Now we have God blinding their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, because the heavens give the lights, the constellations in Isaiah 13:10, it was. We finally found the right verse.
right.
Talking about the constellations won't give their light. And the constellations are the Maseroth. He's specifically saying, okay, the Maseroth won't give its light.
Yeah, that's scary.
Okay, not just random stars. Yeah, all the stars. No.
Yeah.
The Maseroth, which uh-huh. is the story of the redemption plan,
yeah.
will not give its light in that day because they choose to be blinded by the God of this world. And God says, okay, he's basically given them over to that retrograde mind. Remember that part? Yeah.
Yes.
God has given him over. Let me see.
Yes.
See, in the Romans, right?
I'm looking. Yeah.
Who is it?
I'm digging.
Yep. So basically, yes, he said he'll give them over.
I'll give them over to a depraved mind, I should say. That's Romans 1:26 through 32.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about there.
Okay.
So we can see, again, the light is not just the physical light that's coming out of the stars. It's mm-hmm. a representation of Jesus being the light of the world. And that's the story that's being told. And then as we come to the end of the age, the Antichrist will blind these people because mm-hmm. that's where they want to be. God has given them over to the retrograde mind,
right.
and then he has said, I've blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, mm-hmm. so they won't even be able to see it. Even if the light was shining, they still wouldn't be able to see it because
they're blind. I believe that now that hasn't happened yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, but I'm seeing the beginnings of it that you know are happening. Right now, all over the world, you know, choosing evil over good, all the anti-Semitism and all that stuff. I'm seeing the beginnings of it, but it's going to get
yep.
a heck of a lot worse, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the Bible says these are just shadows. These are types and patterns and shadows of what is actually coming.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is just a shadow, imagine how
oh, man.
Yucky it's
really. Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. I'll pass on that.
We'll pass on that one. Okay. Yeah. And let me see. Well, back in 2 Corinthians, let me see who moved it.
Okay.
If we go to 3:10, let's go to 3:10.
Okay. Got it.
So it says, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect.
Mm.
Okay. So let's see what that is. Administration of death. So he's talking about how the ministration of the spirit be rather the ministration of condemnation be the glory. Mm-hmm. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in its respect for the reason of the glory that excelleth. Mm-hmm. For that if it's done away with was glory. So he's talking about the manifestation of all these things. And somewhere in there I found the implication towards light. But we're approaching the end of this show, so I have to come back to it. Or the end of the half.
Well, we can get into it in the second half.
Put a veil over. Yeah, okay, we'll
there
get back
is.
Into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's 14. Verse 14, I think, is where you
minds were blind until this day remained a veil untaken. In the reading of the Old Testament, and the veil was done away with in Christ. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to see all these things too. And it just struck me that it's just amazing that he wrote that in the stars. And he's like, so you can't change it. It's not right. Like you can move all the stars around.
Right.
It's been written since before even man was created.
Right.
And is talking about Jesus being the light. So in the second half, we're going to follow up with this and talk about how Jesus is the light and how that actually represents back to all of this. So we're going to look at a lot of different things.
Okay.
And it's just so exciting because, folks, the time is coming very soon where you will not be able to see it.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that will, you'll have to go by faith on what we are leaving behind, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of the videos that we'll leave behind, there's lots of people making videos for after the rapture, and there will be a great revival, but it will be like in the old days. How were these people saved before there was any, writings? How was Abraham saved?
Right.
He heard from the stories from of old. Mm-hmm. So you won't be able to see it in the stars. They'll probably get rid of all the Bibles. I don't know, but it will have to be from what you've been told now and those stories being retold, and the stars aren't going to go away. But at one point they will be darkened so the people can't see them. So you're going to have to remember that.
Right.
So we're going to come back to the second half, okay, right after this, but we encourage you to stay tuned, to maybe take a little time and reflect about what this really means, and is there really a God? Well, yeah, he wrote everything in the stars, and there's your proof. Mm-hmm. And then just turn to him, give your life to Christ. And Lord willing, we'll be back in the second half, so just stay tuned.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Julia Chapman. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments today in a historic case, which is set to decide whether former presidents are immune from criminal prosecution. Lawyers for Donald Trump and special counsel Jack Smith will make their cases to the court after Trump was charged with attempting to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Smith insists former leaders aren't above the law and that Trump can be prosecuted. Lawyers for Trump have invoked the Constitution, arguing he has immunity from indictment related to actions taken in office. The arguments are untested, as Trump is the first former president to face criminal charges. If the court rules that the criminal trial can proceed, it would likely resume in late summer, in the run-up to the election. The U.S. secretly shipped long-range ATACMS missiles to Ukraine in March, after months of requests for the powerful weapons by Ukrainian officials. Some of the ballistic missiles have already been used to strike Russian military targets. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
The U.S. had previously supplied Ukraine with a shorter-range ATACMS missiles with a range of 165 kilometers. But in a major policy shift, U.S. President Joe Biden in February secretly approved the shipment of ATACMS with a longer range of 300 kilometers. On Tuesday, Ukraine used these long-range ATACMS to strike Russian troops in the port city of Berdyansk on the Sea of Azov, according to a senior U.S. official. And last Wednesday, Ukraine's military intelligence said the missiles struck an airfield in Zhankoy-occupied Crimea, destroying four S-400 launchers, three radar stations, a command post for air defense operations, and air surveillance equipment. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is stepping back from his public duties as he considers a shock resignation. It follows a Spanish court's decision to start investigating his wife over allegations of influence peddling. Our Europe correspondent Giles Gibson has more.
In a letter to the Spanish people that he posted on social media, Pedro Sanchez insisted that his wife, Begoña Gómez, has done nothing wrong. Even so, he says he needs to decide if it's worth staying on in his job amidst constant attacks from his opponents on the right. Alberto Núñez Feijóo, who leads the opposition People's Party, said political opponents aren't behind the investigation into Sanchez's wife, but rather the justice system. He also said the Prime Minister's actions were like, quote, a teenage spectacle. Sanchez has said he will announce his decision about his political future on Monday next week. Giles Gibson, Brussels.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Well, it looks like the Lord has let us tarry a little bit longer. So let's keep talking. This is a beautiful thing. Right, JD? That's a
absolutely
wonderful.
I am enjoying it, David. I am, as always. Looking forward to the second half.
Go ahead. Just a little reminder. We are talking about the stars, and they will give light upon the earth. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a physical light. It's talking about giving the story of the light of the world. And who is that? Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah. So let's look that up, actually. Let's go. Where were we? First John, I think, is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, in chapter 1.
Okay.
And we're going to see 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7.
Okay.
You want to read that? You like
sure.
reading.
Yeah. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
It's
pretty powerful stuff.
Right? Now this gives a whole new story, because remember we did the entire presentation on the contract that was written in the stars mm-hmm. that included Jesus shedding his blood, you know, in order to pay for our sins.
Right.
So we have a new blood contract with Jesus, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb mm-hmm. and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even unto the death. That's how we overcome. You say, I just give my complete life to you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm under your blood contract, mm-hmm. okay? And the word of our testimony, you have to speak it. To confess means to speak the same thing as, you know, and in this case, it would be the word. So you speak what the word speaks.
Amen.
You have a blood contract, and that's how you overcome.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. And this is all telling about the same thing. Here's the light. Okay. Jesus is the light. And it was the stars that were giving the light, which means they're telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a story of redemption, which is him giving his life, shedding his blood so you can be redeemed.
Right.
And we overcome with all of that. So this is extremely powerful when you start to tie everything all together.
Amen.
It's one cohesive story, I would say.
Yes, sir. It is indeed.
And intricate and not entangled, but delicately weaved.
Yeah,
absolutely. A wonderful thing.
Yeah, beautiful.
Because if we walk in the light, like he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all the sin. So you need to understand what this light is. Okay. So let's take us over to, John 1:1. That's always a good one.
Okay.
Who doesn't love John 1:1? We'll start there and then we'll move through the chapters.
Okay.
So this one, everyone knows this one. In the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So here we are. Genesis again, basically.
Mm-hmm, right.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, remember, order. light symbolizes partially, well, one of the things it symbolizes is order.
Okay.
And the light shines in the darkness. So it goes into the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it. It's like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know, so here we're seeing the same old picture again, which is a glorious new picture every day, even though it's the same old picture, mm-hmm. of he is the light, and he's the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And so that looks like you have a question. You have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I'm just following along here.
I feel it. It's in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go.
it's coming. John, trust me. Okay, John 8. Okay.
Yeah, John 8, and he's, you know, he's talking to the woman that was about to be stoned, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And well, you know what, another just a side note on that, he knew which one was the oldest when he was talking to the guys. Okay, which one he's in.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll escape a lot of people, just that one little point. Yeah.
And they'll be like, "Oh, how did he know that?"
Right.
Because, all right, but let's read verse 12, John 8, 12.
Okay.
And all right. Then Jesus spake again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
And I bet you that the, what were they, Sadducees or Pharisees that went nuts about that one? Because, you know, sacrilege.
He said, I'm God.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that sent them into a fit. That's for sure.
They didn't want that. A really good point. Mm. Go ahead. You brought that up, and that just, it strikes something else. That's a really good point, because they studied the word, they misinterpreted a lot of it, but they fully understood the difference between light and darkness here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. They looks like they fully understood what he meant by that, because mm-hmm. they knew the Matzaroth was giving the light, and it told of the Messiah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's him saying, I am the light mm-hmm. that this Matzaroth is giving.
Yeah. Well, if you look down at verse 13, David, if mm-hmm. you look at verse 13, it basically says exactly that. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You forgot. There's two more here. So that's just, it just opens up another thing. So the Pharisees knew. They knew about the Matzaroth. They knew mm-hmm. that it was the light, and they knew it was the redemption story, and mm-hmm. they knew that it was him saying, I am the one that the stars are talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love to read the Bible. Shock. Okay. Anyway, just to follow that up again, if you're looking at verse number 14, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. You judge mm-hmm. according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Again, powerful stuff, and I'm sure that they just about wet themselves when they heard all that stuff.
Again, all. The court terms, I'm bearing witness,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
Every time when you go to court, hey, we need two witnesses to convict anybody.
Right.
Here you go. He's bearing a witness. That's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so he's walking in that light, and they knew he was the Messiah because of that light.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's pop over to John 12.
Okay.
Who doesn't love John 12?
And what are we starting to do?
You read 35 through 40?
Sure. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, then among the rulers many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. In other words, when you see me, you see God. That was that was the point there. Did I go far enough, David?
Yeah. And then I'll just finish it up with verse 46. It says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Amen.
Okay, so you're not going to live in that chaos, in that confusion. You're not going to live there because you have the order, the light of God.
Amen.
He is that light. Mm-hmm. And that's what the stars speak of.
Looking at verse number 42, nothing could be more true at that time in history and in 2024. You know, I mean, it is exactly the same. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Again, same now as then, right?
Yeah, it just all falls together. So I'm just amazed, you know, even after studying and putting all this together, I'm just amazed that there's just so much more as you uncover each layer of they knew that he was, just because of how he was saying it and saying that he is the light of the world.
Right.
So I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that they, well, I don't know. God knew it was going to happen. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. So did not get into Isaiah chapter 60 yet, did we?
No, not yet.
Okay, so let's jump over there.
Okay.
More corroborating evidence.
Okay.
Let me see. So he's talking about here. Let's back up. Let's start at the in verse 14 of Isaiah 16 and verse 14. Now, we're going to eventually land on 19, but let's start way up there.
Okay, now you did say Isaiah 60, right? Isaiah 60.
Yeah, chapter 60.
Okay.
And I'll start in 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come upon thee, the fir tree, the pine. You know what? Let me read it in New American Standard so it's easier for people.
Okay.
The glory of Lebanon will come upon you, the juniper, the box tree, the cypress together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I shall make the place of my feet glorious. So he's talking about the thousand-year reign, the millennium that's coming.
Okay.
The sons of who is afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despise you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and you will call they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
You will also suck the milk of nations and suck the breasts of kings, and you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob.
Amen.
Oh, it's starting to look good here. Mm-hmm. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold. Instead of iron, I will bring you silver. Imagine building stuff with gold and silver.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Because that's what you would build things with. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. So it's just an upgrade. Everything gets an upgrade.
Right.
And I will make peace your administrators and righteousness your overseers. Violence will not be heard again in your land.
Amen. Amen.
Nor devastation or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise.
Amen.
So this is salvation and praise. I named my walls and my gates.
So now this is, if I understood you correctly, this is after the tribulation period, after the second coming. This is during the millennial reign, correct?
That's what it appears.
Okay. Well, just making sure.
Okay. This gets pretty cool.
Yeah,
check this out, verse 19.
Okay.
This is wild. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for your everlasting light.
Amen.
And your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Wow, let's take a deeper look at that.
Amen.
Okay. Now, we've learned already that the sun, the moon, and the stars were all to give light or to tell the story of redemption. And who is the redemption? He is the light of the world. That's Jesus.
Right.
And now, when they come back into the land and are given all the stuff we talked about, the upgrade on everything, it says, no longer have the sun for light by day.
Right.
Now, it doesn't say the sun doesn't exist. It says you don't need it for light.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So I think that's probably a good thing to say, because it just says you sun for light by day.
Yeah.
So the sun will be there, but Jesus will be the light. So you don't need the sun for the light, because he is the light that's there.
Yeah.
Nor the brightness will be the, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the God for, and your God for your glory. So here we are. It's telling the story, but now it's saying, well, you don't need the story that's told to you from the sun and the moon anymore.
Right.
You don't need that anymore. The constellations, we thought, you know, in 13:10, it says the constellations won't give their light either, because the, that story is with you.
Yeah.
You'll be dwelling with you. So you don't need this to tell the story of a coming Redeemer anymore.
Right. Right. Because he's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's back.
Yeah.
And the sun will no longer set. That's going to be wild.
Yeah, so the sun is there all the time. That, you know, that's, yeah, that's wild, you know, but we don't care that it's, you know, never night. We don't care.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, we're happy about
it. It'll always be a full moon, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's just wild to me, because now it's saying, okay, you won't need the story written in the stars anymore, because you'll be walking with the Savior at that point.
Yeah. I wonder if there are even stars. Will there even be stars at that point, David? Or do you have any clue?
Yeah, probably. Maybe we won't see them. Wow. So let's explore that a little bit more. Do you have any more questions? Because that's kind of I made for today. And if I open up any other can of worms, we're going to go way past time.
No, but I can, I'm sure I can come up with something here. Let me see here. Going back over this again. You know, I'm going back to John 8 again, because, you know, this is, you know, let me see. In, let me see, verse 19, this is, John 8, verse number 19. He said, then they said to him, where is your father? Now, again, now remember, these guys are, you know, these are supposed to be the ones that really know the Tanakh or the Torah or whatever you want to call the thing, right? They're supposed to know, and they're asking the Messiah, where's your father? Now, that's a stupid question for them to ask. They, as you said, they know the answer already, but they're trying to get him to state that he is God, to where they can crucify him. I mean, that's really what they're all about. Jesus answered and said, you know neither me nor my Father. In other words, you know, you're not saved. I guarantee you that. From that was the dumbest question you could have asked me. If you had known me, you know, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. That's
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's only one time, but there are other instances where Jesus, you know, they were after him or whatever, and I don't remember the scripture, David, but there's one where they basically had him trapped.
They were going to throw him over the cliff.
Yeah, and
he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hint, you know, do you think maybe you might want to pay attention to what all this guy is doing? This is not normal. And again, with all their teaching, all their knowledge, it's just amazing to me that they, you know what I'm saying? It's stupidity. I don't know how to describe it.
It fits right along with this. So, and like in Thessalonians in chapter 5.
Okay.
First Thessalonians.
Let me get over there. You're breaking up a little bit, so I'm gonna give you a second to clear up. Did you say First Thessalonians?
Yeah.
Okay. And chapter 5. Did I hear that right? Okay.
Now we also use this as the rapture verse.
Okay.
Okay. And it goes down into verse 11. It says, you know, 10 and 11, he died. Whether you wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another as he did. Mm-hmm. So we're not appointed to wrath. Comfort yourself with this stuff, which is cool. But let's take a deeper look into this. We start at the beginning of chapter 5, and it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What are the times and seasons? Oh, well, that would be the stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So he's clearly saying to them, I need to explain the Matzaroth to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know story of, and he's here, and that's what he's talking about. In verse, it says, now in the New American Standard, it says, now as to the times and the epochs, well, it's, you know, times and seasons, you have no need that I've written and they're saying anything to you. It says, no need of anything be written to you in the New American Standard. For you yourselves know full well the day of the Lord will come just in the night. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, we've always said, okay, that the rapture crowd will say, oh, that's the rapture we're expecting. But he's talking about the signs and the seasons. So he's talking about the Matzaroth and the redemption plan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, you know when all this stuff's going to happen, and you know by the story that's written in the stars, they're going to say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will come upon them.
Right.
Verse 3, while they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them, or suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a woman with child. That is the consolation of coma. Mm-hmm. And they will not escape.
Right.
So they understood this, that there's a secondary, one of the deacons of Virgo is coma. That's the woman with the child. So they knew this.
Right.
Because he says of times and seasons, you know. But you, brethren, are not in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4.
Yeah.
You are not in darkness. Well, what is he talking about? He separated the darkness from the light, and he put the stars there.
Right.
He's talking about the Matzaroth and his whole thing, which we've never seen before. Who talks about this? This is exactly what he's saying. These are the consolations. You know the times and the seasons. We're talking about the stars. You know this. I don't have to explain it to you.
Right.
For you, the sons of light and sons of day, we are not of night or darkness.
Well, you know, honestly, I never really looked at that. It was always kind of confusing to me, actually, when I read this particular verse. But concerning the times and seasons, brother, you have no need that I should write you. Really? I mean, you know, that's how I looked at it until you just explained it. now it makes sense, you know. But before, I was like, well, how would they know before you told them? Well, because he told them in the stars, right?
In the stars. So, you know, they all studied.
Yeah, it makes sense now. You know, again, you clear up
a
lot. Yeah, you clear up a lot for me in these midweek sessions every week. And that's the reason that I ask people, please, whenever David is doing one of these teachings, grab your Bible, for goodness sakes, you know, and follow along, because just like me, you're going to be enlightened by a lot of what he has to say, you know, things that maybe, you know, even Christians that have been around, you know, been Christians for years and years and years, we still all have questions one way or another. And David has done a lot of in-depth study on this, and you know, I didn't know anything about the stars telling a story until I met David and then went through the explanation and was like, wow, yeah, okay, I get it. That makes perfect sense. Now, you know, I just kind of went over it, you know, before, but now it makes absolute sense. And that, you know, concerning the times and seasons, yeah, I understand why he didn't need to tell them. He'd already told them. God had told them.
Yep.
You know, and he's telling you already know it. You already know this. Why are you bothering me with it? That's really how I look at it now.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And it's all the same language.
Yeah.
The signs and seasons, okay? The times and the epochs, you have no need. The woman with the child, peace and safety. We see that in the stars. And we just see everything.
Right.
But you are not in darkness because you're children of the light.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what he's talking about. He separated the darkness from the light.
Yeah.
This whole passage is the same language as that. So I'm kind of like dumbfounded at the immense depth of the word. So
amen.
Would you take us out of the show?
Oh, sure. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you know, the whole point of our show is to try to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. I know some of you don't believe the rapture is going to happen and all that, and, you know, God bless you, but it's going to happen. The Bible says so, and, you know, if you jump into 1 Thessalonians here where we are, that's a good place to read about it. There's a lot of other places, but we are certain that there will be a rapture of the church, and it will happen before the Great Tribulation. So you can avoid that. You don't want to be a part of the tribulation period where stars are falling out of the sky, where volcanoes are going off, where earthquakes are happening, where, you know, everything. Think about the worst thing that could possibly happen times 1 billion, and you might come close to the way it's going to be during the Great Tribulation period. So you want to miss that. Okay. There's no reason for you to be there. And you can avoid that, and you can be saved, and you can go to heaven, and you can spend eternity in heaven by simply speaking to God from your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know he spent those 3 days in the tomb. He told me he was going to do it before he did it. He told us. And he also said he's going to rise on the third day. He did that too. And there were more than 500 people who saw him at the same time after he rose from the grave. And as a matter of fact, there was a whole lot of people that rose from the grave after he was crucified. Did you know that? We'll get into that someday. But if you will give your heart to Jesus, if you will tell him that you will follow him all the remaining days of your life, you will be saved. And you don't have to go through the tribulation. Just say that prayer and say it in Jesus' name. And if you do that, you're going to join me and David and every other Christian living and dead in the air with Jesus Christ. Until next time, good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.